أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. In this ayat kareema, Allah tabaraka ta'ala has addressed the believers who are his friends. And Allah has only given those commands to the believers which are only good through and through. 100% in every way which is only good for us, Allah ta'ala has given us those commands. So Allah is addressing his friends for whom he desires goodness in every way. Then Allah says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, that rozas have been made faraz upon you. Allah did not say, Kataptu alaykum as-siyam, that I have made rozas faraz upon you. Because rozas are strenuous. The whole program of roza is strenuous. And thus we can understand what love relationship Allah has got with his creation, with his bandas. That Allah Ta'ala did not even want us to feel that why did Allah make rozas faraz upon us. Rozas are strenuous, they are hard, they go against the nafs, against the desire. Then your beloved, your lover doesn't do that for you. Your lover only does what you enjoy, what is good for you. But rozas are extremely good, but because they are strenuous, so Allah did not associate it directly with himself. Of course, who else made rozas for us? Only Allah made them for us. But Allah did not use the words that I have made rozas for us upon you. So that your love relationship with Allah must not be tarnished in any way. You must not feel that my lover has put me through this difficult and hard exercise. So Allah Ta'ala says, Kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made faraz upon you. And then to make us accept it more easily and readily, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, just as it was made faraz upon other people before you. Other ummats also kept rozas, so you don't have to feel singled out that why do we have to suffer and keep these rozas. No, they have been made for us upon other people also. Upon the ummats of before also, we have made rozas for us. And like we find very commonly here in the Darul Uloom, first year students, quite a few, find it strenuous, hard, very difficult, and they come and complain, it's very hard, the course is too much, kitabs are too much, etc. Then we explain to them, amongst other things, that see, other students before you, they also did all this. And you are not only of average intelligence, you are of above intelligence. When they could manage it, you can also manage it. How many have already graduated, and they all did this also, so you can also manage it. So just like that, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, when other ummats could manage it, you can also manage it. Don't feel that it's too hard. Pluck up the little courage and keep your rozas. And it's not too hard. Others have kept rozas before you. You also keep rozas. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. And then Allah Ta'ala informs us what the benefit is. It is a bit strenuous. You are going to go through an exercise. But the end result is going to be very, very superior and very great. La'allakum tattaqoon. So that you might gain taqwa. La'al in Arabic comes possibly, hopefully. But Allah's la'al is surely. There is no possibility in the la'al of Allah Ta'ala. Allah's la'al, Allah's possibility is sure you will acquire taqwa. Just like you're going for an operation and you are going to pay for it. You are going to go through the doctor is going to cut you up also. He's going to keep you away from a lot of food for how many days also. How many things you have to go through. You're going to be away from your home also. You're going to be in a strange environment of the hospital also, and possibly the nurses, etc., they're not going to treat you nicely also there. But you go through all this, hopefully that you'll get shifa, you'll get cure. You've got a heart problem, they're going to do a bypass, or you broke your hands, legs in an accident, now they will operate on you. You'll come right again. You'll start walking. You'll start running again. So you're looking at that. You don't mind all this. This is a bit difficult. It's going to cost me money. I have all these difficulties I'm going to go through. But the end result I'm going to get, that's going to be very good. I'll be healthy again. I'll be cured of my illnesses, of my ailments again. And then I'll be well. Any person who has got any problem, physical health problem, and he gets cured of it, how much he appreciates it. He says, oh, how I was suffering. Now, alhamdulillah, I'm all right. I can manage everything again. I was suffering so much with this, so much with that. Really, if we keep our rozas properly, and we get the taqwa, which Allah Ta'ala says, surely you will get it. If you will keep your rozas, and then if we get this taqwa, we'll say it was worth it. And not only worth it, but as the hadith clearly tells us, we will wish the whole year must be roza. If this is what I'm getting on roza, oh, let me care, whole year should be roza. And also let us remember, Ramzan rozas are completely different from other rozas. You can care, ulama, fuqaha have written, if a person breaks his roza in Ramzan, then he has to keep the kafara of it afterwards. And he has to keep that one roza also. But they have written your whole life you can keep roza. What you should have got in your Ramzan roza, you can't get out of Ramzan roza. When your Allah Ta'ala has been very more merciful, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ, if you are on a journey, you are allowed not to keep roza. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَأَن تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, but for you to keep that roza in Ramzan is better for you. But you are permitted, you are traveling, it's going to be hard for you, more hard for you while you are traveling, you don't know what you're going to go through. So if you don't keep roza in your Ramzan for an illness, for traveling, whatever, where Shariat has given permission, then you keep the qaza afterwards, no problem, your rozas will be completed. But what you'll get in Ramzan, you won't get out of Ramzan. So Ramzan is such a month, Allah Ta'ala has made it, that were the benefits of roza. So once a person will know that, then he'll wish the whole year must be Ramzan, his whole life. Once he starts getting, if we keep, and the, further Allah Ta'ala says, ayyamam ma'adudat. And it's only a few days. Ma'adudat is a number which you can count on your fingers. Just a few days to count 30 on your fingers. 33 tasbihat we count on our fingers. A person makes zikr 100 times, he counts it. There's only a few, 30, to count it on your fingers. Just a few days. It's not much that you have to keep roza. But see what you're going to get. You're going to get taqwa for just making the sacrifice. So, in the Allah Ta'ala is, in other words, encouraging us, open your heart and happily keep the rozas. One is your body. Your body has got a lot of limitations. You feel tired, you get exhausted. That is all in order. But to see the object of it, like for example, a student who is writing an exam, he studies till 12, 2 o'clock at night. Sometimes he doesn't sleep the whole night. It's strenuous, it's hard. But he knows the exam is coming in. If I pass and I get my degree, then oh, my roads will be open. What doors will be open to me? So just let me go through this year. A businessman, we see how many people, we think that how they suffering, how they going from one place buying goods to another place, how they arguing about prices, everything, and what difficulties they go through. Why? They have in their mind the profit they're going to get. And when they make that profit, today many people say that business isn't like it was in the past. So if that was, they say there's no more fun in business. In other words, there's no money in business. Then why are they carrying on? If there is no fun and you're not making money anymore, then why are they carrying on? Sit at home then, comfortably, sit at home. But why are you going? You know there is money. And that at the end of the month, end of the financial year, when you see your financials and you see the money, then all this, it's worth it. It's okay. You say now the tax laws, no more you can do anything uplan. The tax laws have gone so tight they have become. And nowadays the robberies that are taking place, all that, the competition is so much. They say it's no more, you can't, your competitors, they're just slashing prices. You can't even make profit. Today there is no money. But you see them pulling out new cars, buying bigger houses, going more for Umrah, going more for on holidays, holidays which we couldn't imagine. Now a holiday is not only one. Now a person is judged, his status is judged whether he goes once or twice or thrice a year for holiday, and whether he goes to local place for holiday or overseas. And all this is just one big deception. You go to a resort in Mauritius, you go to a resort in Indonesia, in Malaysia, wherever, exactly the same facility you'll get here. Or perhaps you'll even get a better, but just the status. I went overseas for a holiday. I went to Malaysia. I went to this place. I went to that. So all this here, so they say there's no money. Then how is all this happening? There is money. So in the same way, if we see, so to say, the money, the profit in Roza, then we will want to just keep Roza. But till we don't see, many people close their business also. No, it's not possible. My business is not paying now. The expenses, my overheads are more. I can't manage to pay my merchants. I'd rather go and work for somebody because they're not making profit. Then they close their business. They don't want to carry on with their business. When a person sees profits, he won't close his business. Whether then he's taking his wife also into the business, taking his daughter also into the business, he's making money, he put everyone, dragged them into the business because he's seeing money. And then he carries on with all the difficulties in the business, all the competition, the tax laws, the robberies, all the things, but he doesn't mind. He carries on. Where at the end, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ, when the money is coming into the coffers, that is what counts. So just like that, if we see profits in our rozas, then a person will happily all this, then he won't regard it even as a strain, as a strenuous, or though it is reasonably on the human being, it is. Rozas are, Allah made it such that we like our food. Even if we are full, we still always eating a little here, a little there. Our program, how we have programmed our lives, we carry on with that way. Ramzan, it's all changed again. It's changed again. So a person does feel it a bit strenuous. But if he sees the profit, he'll wholeheartedly and happily accept it. Like a person who buys something for 5 rands and sells it for 5 rands. He'll be the busiest man in town, because nobody else will be able to sell at 5 rands. But he'll be the first man out of business also, because he can't pay his salaries, he can't pay his rentals, he can't pay anything. He's making no profit. He's getting no... He'll say, what is business? Then it's useless making business. I was so busy, I got so tired, I didn't have time to eat so many customers, because he was selling so cheap. He was selling dead at cost, and then, or if he sells below cost, then what will be his condition? So the same way, our rozas. A roza which is selling at cost is like, just an example, the roza of what is called, written by the fuqaha. And that is a roza al-imsak anita'am wa-sharab, to stay away, abstain from eating, drinking, and sexual relations from the time of sehri until the time of iftari. Then your roza according to shariat is done. You have kept your roza. You won't be questioned why you didn't keep roza. But that is just like buying at cost and selling at cost. You just did your basics. But to make the profits of roza, for that the ulama have written, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ, rozas have been made farz upon you. 6 more types of rozas. These are 3 basic things which you abstain from. Eating, drinking, and sexual engagement. You abstain from that, your basic, your roza is made. To understand it with another example, you are building a house, your structure is up, the walls are up, and the ceiling is up, everything is there. The toilet is functioning, and the kitchen, the stoves are in, basins, everything is in order, the bathroom, but the tiling hasn't been done. Carpeting hasn't been done. You also don't want to move in. Your wife also say, we can't move into such a house. House is not complete, but you can sleep in that house, you can eat in that house, you can go to toilet, everything you can do. You say, the house is not complete, the tiling is not done, the light fittings are not still in, the carpeting is not done, and sometimes so much so, the gardening is not done. Till the gardening also, which is outside, But that also has to be first done. Then the house is complete. How many things? So just like that, just with the structure, though it is a structure, it is a house, but you are not prepared to stay in it. It's not yet complete. Just like that, the structure of roza is the farais. Abstaining from eating, drinking, and sexual engagement, that is the structure, that is the roza. But the beauty, the perfection, and the completion of the roza is when we'll keep roza, the other six things which ulama have written. And amongst them, the first thing that they have written is roza of the tongue also. What is roza of the tongue? One is we don't eat, but we save ourselves from ghibat, from backbiting, from lying, all the gunas of the tongue. According to some sahaba radiallahu anhum also, and some fuqaha also, if a person may commit a major guna in roza, then it nullifies, it breaks the roza, just like eating and drinking and sexual engagement breaks the roza. Though the unanimity of the ummah is that it doesn't break the roza, but all that roza is now just it's gone void of all benefit. There is no benefit in it. You only have done your duty, but the benefit of roza you are not going to get now. So, and we also should understand there is a difference between staying hungry and keeping roza. A lot of people go on hunger strikes, and other people keep a lot of rozas. The Hindus also, I think at the moment, they also keeping roza, but their roza is only not to eat meat. That's all. Everything else they can eat. That is their type of roza. So there are various types of rozas also. People who go on hunger strikes, they also eat. Not that they stay completely hungry, but they eat also. So our roza is, we know that you, even a little child who keeps roza, even when he's completely with nobody seeing him, but he doesn't eat anything, I got roza. Not even a drop of water. So much so that a person while making wudu is so much more careful and particular that while rinsing my mouth, that one drop of water mustn't go down my throat. He's so particular. So the roza that we have to keep is that is on its place. But roza of the tongue, that all the gunas and the sins of the tongue, we abstain from them also totally. And what is roza? To abstain from food which is halal, 100% there is halal food. Drink which is halal. Your wife is halal for you. But in this period, that these things Allah Ta'ala has made them haram for you during the days of Ramadan. From here we should understand another point, and there are many other examples of this from the Quran Sharif and Hadith Sharif which many people have problems with. Like for example, you become ba'at with your sheikh, you are doing your tarbiyat, sheikh stops you from certain halal things also. Okay? Then that is, people have objection, what right has the sharia, what right has the sheikh got to make halal? لِمَ تُحَرِّمُ مَا حَلَّ اللَّهُ. Why are they making haram what Allah has made halal? Like here, yeah, these are also halal things, but Allah made them haram for a certain period. Like that, the sheikh for your spiritual training. And so much so that the three sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum who didn't go in the battle of Tabuk, salam was also prohibited. Otherwise it comes, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if a person makes salam, you must reply, wajib. To make salam is sunnat, mustahab. But to reply is wajib. But yet to reply was made haram. That no, you are not allowed to make salam to those three sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Relationship with their wife, they were prohibited. That during this period, you cannot stay at home and have your normal relationships with your wives, which is halal, but it was made haram. So the tarbiyat period, waqfa'i tarbiyat, is such a period that many halal things also are also made haram for a certain period. Hadrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, has written that there was one great alim in a town. In every way he was very superior, his knowledge, he was a mufti, he was the khatib, his bayans, his jumah, khutbas, etc. Very, very effective. But he himself realized that I need in my life that I must have contact with Allah Ta'ala. deen I've got. I'm practicing upon deen. And my ibadat and my khidmat of deen also I'm doing. But I still lack contact with Allah Ta'ala. A personal contact with Allah Ta'ala. For that, he himself went to the buzurg of the town, the sheikh of the town, and he told him, I wish that you must make my contact also with Allah Ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. You want Rahman, you want to have contact, you want to know Rahman, you want to have contact with Rahman, then ask those who are informed about Rahman. Unse milne ki yahi ek raah hai. Unke milne walo se raah paida karo. One beautiful poem of Maulana Muhammad Ahmed Sahib Pratapgari Rahmatullah Ali. Unse milne ki yahi ek raah hai. This is the one way that you can meet with Allah Ta'ala. How? Unke milne walo se raah paida karo. Make contact with those who are regularly meeting Allah, who are going there. Anywhere you want to go somewhere, you know that person, he goes always. He knows the ins and outs there. So he say, okay, I'll tell him, take me. He knows everything, all the ins and outs there. So those who know the ins and outs by Allah, who have got contact with Allah, you just make your contact with them, and then your contact will be made with Allah Ta'ala. So the Shaykh, he wanted that. So he went to the Shaykh. Shaykh said, no problem, you stay here in a hospital, spiritual hospital. For 40 days you stay here and you take your spiritual treatment, you will also make contact with Allah Ta'ala. He stayed and he stopped him from all his work, from making imamat, from giving fatwas, from all this work. So all the people of the town, they started giving fatwas. That the Shaykh is a zindiq, he's not a believer also. That a person who stops you from making imamat, and a person who stops you from giving bayans and giving fatwas, how can he be even a Muslim? Forget, he's not even a Muslim. He's a zindiq. He's a non-Muslim. He's out of the fold of Islam. And all who giving? The public giving fatwas. And then the Shaykh came to know that this alim, this great alim, at a certain time is making tilawat of Quran Sharif. He stopped him from that also. Only do the zikr I gave you. Nothing else. Then what the fatwas came? Worse fatwas came after that. But after 40 days when he completed his period, and what the Shaykh wanted to must be made in him, and he also obliged properly. That is also another very important thing. One friend of ours, I call him a friend because he treated us like that, he made a lot of muhabbat, but he was much more senior, elder than us. He has passed away now. But he made a lot of muhabbat, and though we were much younger, but he treated us like an equal. So he was a diabetic, suffering from sugar. So one time his sugar levels went so high that he had to be hospitalized. And in the hospital, they controlling him properly. All his food, everything, medication, everything. But his condition defied all the theories. What medicine they give, etc., his sugar must come down. But it's not coming down, it's going up all the time. They're controlling him, he's under surveillance all the time. Then till when the nurse found chocolate wrappers under his pillow. He's pulling the blankets over and under he's eating chocolates. Then how can your islah be made? If that is a person, he's gone into his tent, into his, now he's alone. Today's cell phone zamana, now you can be in contact anywhere, wherever you want to. Or not even cell phone. Cell phone is too much. Maybe your battery is flat. Maybe you haven't got air time. You open up the internet of your heart. And now you play up your old goldies. That what I did when I was a youngster at school, what I did when I was at college, when I was a young person. And now you're playing that stories again. Then you are eating sugar. How can your sugar levels come down? You are thinking of all other evil. Nobody knows about it. But Allah Ta'ala knows. And besides Allah Ta'ala knowing, يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرِ on the day of Qiyamah, all the secrets will also come out. And they come out in this world also. Even what you are thinking so secretly, when it's seen, your islah is not being made. You're not getting contact. You really did something wrong somewhere. With all the cars, Monday morning are traveling on the freeway, and all are zooming past, one way, your car is stuck. And you say cars are rotten. They're useless, they don't even move. It's not cars are rotten, your car got a problem. If everyone else is moving, but you are stuck, you're not moving, you got a problem. there is some dirt in your fuel pipe, in your carburetor, whatever else, or your petrol has run out, you got a flat tire, you got a puncture, whatever it might be, you got a problem. If you're not moving, you got a problem. When Allah Rabbul Izzat wants to, and Allah is extending His hand of friendship, and Allah has made all the intizam for a person's islah, and still his islah is not being made, this internet of the heart, that is one thing a person opens up. And now he's doing all, what planning he's doing, and what discussions he's having, and he's getting all the answers exactly as he wants to. That he spoke to that woman, she replied like this, he did this, she said this, all these things are carrying on in the heart. Now how can your blood pressure come down? How can your sugar levels come down spiritually? So this Shaykh complied with all that he had to do. 40 days he passed his time in the Khanqah. He came back and the first bayan he made, the whole majma, all the gathering became Ahlullah in that one bayan of his. Because now he got that dollar, that treasure inside, that the treasure of inside he had acquired, now it had an effect immediately. What work he was trying to do over years and years, with all his fatwas and all his wonderful, Hadrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, that before we were bayat, I should make bayan, I should also shake and make bayan, and the mimbar should shake also, but on the people no effect whatsoever. We became bayat with Hazrat Haji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and now insight's treasure had come. Now we spoke in a simple way, straightforward way, very simple, but zalzala aata tha logo ki dilo pe. Earthquake should come on the hearts of the people. What conditions should change? So these inside conditions have to be made. So Allah Ta'ala has also prescribed certain things. So this, what the Mashayikh also prescribed, making zikr to this amount, where is it in the hadith you must make zikr like this? One person says, I tried, looked a lot, but I didn't find any of our muhaddithin, Imam Bukhari, Imam Tirmizi, Rahimahumullah, etc., bayat with a sheikh. So many other things also you didn't find. You didn't find Imam Bukhari going for 3 days also. Where in the kitab it comes that he should go for chilla and he should do 2 gashd a week, etc. All those things you did. But also all these things which are prescribed, Mashayikh have prescribed them, and they've seen proven results in front of them. And not one, how many people, what results they have got. So these are those things that if we will apply them to ourselves and diligently, we can't be 100%, no human can, but reasonably that heart is in that way and we do what we have to do, inshallah the results have to come. And they have come to so many people, so these results will have to come to us also. And once that is made and we acquire that taqwa, then we will see for ourselves. And then we will be happy, no problem, I can keep 18 hour rozas in summer when the temperatures are 40, 45 and I got no fan or anything, I don't mind keeping that roza in that place also, if this is the result that I'm getting. So one effort that we have to make is roza of the tongue. In the ummats of before, there was a roza of not speaking also. Inni nadartu lirrahmani sawman فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيَّ. I've made nazar, I've made mannat, I've vowed I'm going to keep roza, and what was that roza? I won't speak to any person. So there was that roza also. In the Khanqahs, we find that a person who had the habit of speaking a lot. So what treatment the Shaykh prescribed for such a person, that all the time he's speaking, that he put a katba, a board hanging here from his neck, string, and a board, yeah, and on there was written, I'm not allowed to speak to anyone. So if anyone sees that, I can't speak to this person. He's not allowed to speak to any person. So that, in that way, that treatment used to be made, so that a person doesn't speak. So, and speaking is, things, what and what, it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that you give me guarantee of that piece of flesh which is between your jaws, and that piece of flesh which is between your legs, and I give you guarantee of Jannah. If we can look after the tongue, and we can look after our private parts, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving guarantee of Jannah. But these are the things that my man finds very hard to control. To control his tongue, and everything starts from the tongue. And even والله قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. إن الله خبير بما يصنعون. Allah Ta'ala said, control your eyes. Allah Ta'ala knows everything which you are sun'at yasna'un. That is like a factory where they make. So Allah says, control your eyes. Using your eyes wrong. Allah Ta'ala is saying, you are manufacturing things. Allah knows all what you are manufacturing. Allama Alusi Jazahum Allah Khair has explained that in that, for example, Wallahu A'lamu bi ijalati nadar. What you are seeing from the corner of your eyes. And all this year, and also one of five to four tafsirs he has made. One of them, bi tahriq al jawarih. The movements in the parts of the body that start now. That a person saw something, he's speaking, and the whole emotions are changing in the whole body. So much so that his private parts also, the movement starts there now. He's looking with his eyes, talking with his tongue, and all other move. So this is all sun'at which is happening. You are manufacturing Allah Ta'ala. So you control the tongue and your private part will also be saved. You control your tongue and your eyes, your private part will also be saved. But when this goes out of control, then you have a problem. And then the demands. In Kanzud Daqaiq is a kitab. There is one nikah is wajib. For when is nikah wajib on a person? One of it is endat tawqan. So one person read this, one student, and he translated, or nikah wajib hai Imam Tawqan rahmatullahi alayhi ke nazdeek. And tawqan is when your desires are very strong. That is now he's called, he thought he's some Imam Tawqan. So anyway, this all happens when a person, his eyes and his tongue, when they go out of control, then this is all what happens. So the tongue is very important to control it. It comes in the Hadith Sharif. A person says one word with his tongue, and he doesn't pay attention to it. He just said one word, and he doesn't realize it takes him to the heights of Jannah. There were people who were about to fight, whether they were friends or wherever else, or husband and wife, and then you said one word and you cooled everything down. And we have seen with our eyes, especially in Saudi, Makkah Sharif, Medina Sharif, a fight breaks out. Once in just by outside Masjid Nabawi, in the old Masjid, just there outside, one person had pulled out his dagger for the other person, Fajr time. And all the people around just said, Salli ala Nabi. Just that, Salli ala Nabi, and everything cooled down. They still didn't read Durood. Only Salli ala Nabi. And what, so a person just says that now, for example, at that time, make Tawbah. You said this, make Tawbah. And you cooled it down between the husband and wife. And that one word of yours, you didn't pay much attention. It's not one big ibadat I made, kept 30 rozas, I made tahajjud, I gave 200,000 rand in some good cause, etc. Small thing, you didn't take it as something so great, but it takes you to the heights of Jannah. And on the other hand, a person says one word with his mouth and it takes him to the depths of Jahannam. Also, he said one word and he didn't pay attention. He just said something. And how much this happens? Those who are married will know. And where there is true love is very sensitive. And just one little thing, you made a joke and you didn't pay attention. You thought, I'm just making a joke. Oh, there, the other partner went off on a tangent. Took off a wrong meaning from there. Whatever meaning they wanted to came in their head. And now what you do, you can't please that partner. Whether it's a husband or the wife. Now they just upset. And the wife even runs away, goes to her mother's house. The husband doesn't want to talk. You said one word and you didn't realize. So there are certain words a person says and it takes him to the depths of Jahannam, what it causes. So this tongue is very, very important that it must be controlled. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki Rahmatullah Ali has written a very beautiful, interesting story with regard to the words that we speak. He says that one king in the days of the past, the kings also used to be pious, send their children to become alim, so he sent him to an alim, to become an alim. Those days there weren't darul ulooms like this. Just one alim should keep the person in the house, and he should stay and eat and make khidmat there, everything, and he should study also for that. So he completed his studies after, in those days studies were 18 years, 20 years, 25 years. He completed, he graduated as an alim. The king gave a very big dawat. He was very happy, my son graduated as an alim. Then when all the people were gathered, the big ulama also, he told the son, say a few words, one ayat of the Quran translated, one hadith translated, say a few words, but he wouldn't speak a word. The king thought, everyone thought he got stage fright, he's just a new alim, he's just graduated, and he's frightened looking at the big crowd and such great ulama sitting, he's frightened, he's not speaking, he left it. But then he saw, he's not speaking at all. In the house also he's not speaking. So he says he's got a problem. They put him onto therapy, speech therapy, he must speak, nothing helping. So one day he thought, let me send him out on a hunting mission. Perhaps when he's light-hearted and it's nothing serious, then perhaps he'll speak. So he went with the other ministers hunting. They passed by a partridge. Partridge meat, bird meat is very, very delicious. And we, yeah, unfortunately, most of us, we're not even aware what a partridge is, how the meat is, how delicious it is. One Jamaat came here, Tabligh Jamaat, and they were traveling somewhere in the countryside, and they passed by these partridges. They asked, what's wrong with you people? You just pass by and you're not even hunting them. Don't you know what, there's gold here, what you are passing. And you're just passing by like that, you got no... You haven't got any sense for this yet. So we, unfortunately we don't know all this. So anyway, so when they passed by and the partridge was quiet also, they didn't see it, they didn't notice it, it was quiet. When they went past it, then it made its sound. What sound the bird has got, it made it. They said, oh ho, we passed the partridge and we didn't hunt it. They went back, they hunted it. Then the boy spoke. He said, as long as you were quiet, your life was safe. When you spoke, now your life went, you died. So anyway, that was that. But all the ministers heard, oh, this boy can speak, he spoke today. They rushed back immediately to the king and went and tell the king that the boy spoke, and we all heard him speak, he can speak. It's not that he's dumb, he can't speak, he can speak. So the king was very happy, he gave another very big dawat again. Again, all ulama and a lot of people, he told him, speak again, say a few words. He wouldn't speak a word again. And he wouldn't speak, then he ordered the jallad, the person who gives punishment in the palace, in the king's palace. There is somebody who is like the police, who has to give, he ordered him, give him 100 lashes. He's pretending. And today also there are many people who pretend in many things. Depression in many cases is also pretending. A person is, for example, he has got certain, and this happens to people who are very intelligent and very shrewd, and perhaps those who are more shrewd, and they suffer then from another condition, which is inferiority complex, which is that they're not getting attention. They are so clever, but nobody is giving them that importance. Then to attract attention, then they start doing all other funny things, act like they are mad or whatever. In a classroom, a student that is naughty, a naughty student is usually a clever student, but he hasn't been kept occupied enough. He's got more free time, he's got more capacity. So how much work he's supposed to do, he does that and he's got more time. And then when he doesn't get attention, he'd start making a noise in the class, etc. This is the condition. So such people in most cases need a good hiding. And that is all. Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali came once, one boy in Standerton, for months in bed, depression. When he told Hazrat about it, Hazrat went, chal, uth, chal, uth yahan se. He came right. You need somebody to put that pressure on that person. And as long as that is not there, that person takes advantage. And he makes fools of the people. He's just that, he's got that capacity, it's not being used right, and because he's not being appreciated, he doesn't use it right, he's not being appreciated, he goes into, now they call it a depression, they call it whatever else. So anyway, so they told him, give him 100 lashes. He can speak, he's pretending he's not speaking. Then he spoke for a second time. He said that bird spoke once and it lost its life. I spoke once and I got 100 lashes. What about those people who are making all the time chak chak bak bak on the day of Qiyamah? What will be their condition? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. You don't speak one word, but there is your farishtas, your sentinels, and they record everything down, whatever you have spoken. One time, one person made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, let me see this Kiraman Katibin. But that wasn't a time of videos and tape recorders. I want to know how they managed to record everything a person speaks. That everything you say, they recorded. Allah accepted his dua. Allah showed him the Kiraman Katibin. So when he saw them, he made salam to them. They didn't reply. They wrote, Assalamu alaikum. He said, you don't reply? They wrote down, you don't reply. They're not paying any attention to him. You write down everything? They wrote down. You write down everything? Like that, everything is recorded. Whatever a person does, everything is under record. And on the day of Qiyamah, Yawma Tubla Sarair, all the secrets will come out. The video is going to be played out there, and there it is going to be on a big screen. Like many parties and meetings, they have got a big screen. All the people are sitting on their tables or wherever they are, and the camera is focused on everyone, and it plays on the big screen. Everyone is shown there on the day of Qiyamah, in front of our mothers, our wives, our daughters, our people, in front of our mashayikh, in front of our murids. Whatever we were doing is going to be playing there, it's going to be shown. Illa man tab. However, a person who makes tawbah, Allah himself destroys that video. Then there will be no questioning and no, if a person makes sincere tawbah. Otherwise, whatever we have done, it's going to show out there. So in this world, whatever we do, it is being recorded. So the tongue is a very, very delicate part of the body. The tongue, jismuhu saghir, wa jurmuhu kabir. The tongue, it's a small little thing. What is the weight of the tongue? What is the size of the tongue? But its sin is very, very big. With this tongue, you can give your wife 3 talaqs. And when you have done that, cry your whole life, an irreparable loss, damage you have caused. With this tongue, you can say words of kufr, and then you have destroyed yourself. So this tongue, how important is it that we have to be trained that we use it correctly? Allah Ta'ala, in this month, if we learn to control our tongue, and what better can there be than i'tikaf, than being in the khanqah, and that what the, not only being in the khanqah being sufficient, but that a person makes this a point, that I must control my tongue. And I must keep, this is now one aspect of your roza being, now you have done some finishing to your roza. Now you have kept a proper roza. If you learn to control, and a person who has learned, many people have realized this, that when, because of my tongue, I speak too much. I cause a lot of problems. Always just talking, and I fall into trouble all the time. That when I learn to control my tongue, now I haven't got problems. Man samata naja. A person who keeps quiet, that person, he gains salvation. Saki e. That you speak 100 things you say, this person just keeps quiet, he's giving you answer to everything. And there is much more detail also, but inshallah, let us learn to keep roza of the tongue also. Where we are keeping roza of the 3 other things that even small children are doing, everyone is doing, the whole ummah is keeping those rozas. We have come here, so let us keep this roza also. Roza of the tongue. Speak only what is absolutely necessary, and only to the extent that it is necessary. And use our tongue for tilawat, for dhikr, for durood sharif, for other ibadats. But as far as just blabbering all the time, just talking, try and get this under control, and see that you'll get salvation from thousands of problems in our life. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and let us keep perfect, complete, perfect rozas, and see the fruit and results of it ourselves also.